So I heard this story about a guy in a small town, probably not Fort Scott, but maybe somewhere in Oklahoma or Missouri. In a small town, a guy decides to open up a bar, which is right across the street from a church. And the church and its congregation started to campaign to block the bar from opening with petitions and prayed daily against the business. Work progressed, and when it was almost time for the bar to open, there was a storm. And lightning struck the business, and it was burned to the ground. And the church people were pretty smug on their outlook after that, until the bar owner sued the church for $2 million on the grounds that the church, through its congregation and prayers, was ultimately responsible for the demise of his bar through direct or indirect means or actions. In its reply to the court, the church vehemently denied all responsibility or any connection that their prayers were the reason for the bar's destruction. In their claim, in their support of their claim, they referred to a Harvard study that showed that intercessor prayer has no impact. As the case made its way into the court, the judge looked over the paperwork, and at the hearing he commented, "I don't know how I'm going to decide this case, but it appears from the paperwork we have a bar owner who believes in the power of prayer, and we have an entire church in its congregation that does not." Yikes. That would never be this church. Talk about hypocrisy. Well, that's what we're doing this morning. This morning we're starting a new series throughout the month of November, and it's called People on the Move, Avoiding Dead Ends. And we're looking at four dead ends, or things that block us or prevent us from moving forward on a journey of life and faith. Have you ever run into a dead end while you're driving? What'd you do? Just sit there and pray that the dead end would be removed and a path would be put out before you so you could continue on? Maybe that'll work, but the more practical thing to do would be to turn your car around and find a new route, to acknowledge that you're stuck and to change things. So if it's your habits, your way of living, whatever it is, change it, try something different. And the passage in Joshua for this morning reminds us that when Moses passed on leadership to Joshua, Joshua continued to lead the people on their journey, and then he hits a dead end in the form of a river. And by faith, they cross the river and continue on. I think there's something to that, by faith. That'll be something to hold on to as we look at today's dead end, which is hypocrisy. And I have to admit that this was not an easy topic to look at, and it's not because I don't have any experience with it or any knowledge of it, but the opposite. I see hypocrisy throughout my daily life. When I'm driving my car and I get super angry at other people on the road, they're on their phones, they're distracted. But when my text message ding goes up, whoop, my eyes go straight to see who dat, who sent me a message. When I say I don't have enough time to do this or that or participate in these things, but I definitely have enough time to binge watch a new show on Netflix, 10 hours later, I don't have time. When I say I care about hospitality and building community and but I fail to invite people over because I don't want to clean my house. I don't want to go shopping for groceries, food to prepare for people. And when I talk about my love of all things Fort Scott, but I'm quick to head up to Kansas City or down to Pittsburgh for entertainment, for restaurants and activities. And I don't frequent the places that are part of this live local movement. Instead, I go to chain restaurants and gas stations that benefit in the bigger picture. I want to give monetarily to organizations that I care about. I want to tithe, but I don't have any money. But a quick look at my bank statement shows that I am spending a lot of money on things that are all about me, that are very selfish and unnecessary. I want to be a healthier person, but the choices I make are more out of convenience. I mean, I like to hit up Taco Bell instead of making an actual meal at home. It's easier to drive than to walk places. And when I claim to be a team player, But on group projects or during a game, I'd much rather do it on my own. Because let's face it, I'm better at things when I do them myself. They get done the way I want them to. And I won't be frustrated by the efforts of other people. Parents, teachers, bosses often say, do as I say, not as I do. It's a lot easier to use our words to say do this or don't do that. It's much harder to actually do what we say, to practice what we preach, and to live in such a way that our message is clear and consistent. In our passage from Matthew this morning, it kind of feels like Jesus is condemning the Pharisees for just doing their job, right? Their job was to preach the Hebrew scriptures, to know the law, interpret it, and to make sure people were following it. And that's great. But Jesus isn't condemning them for doing their job. The issue is that human nature creeps in and says, I want to be noticed for the good thing that I'm doing. I need to look out for myself. I want to be noticed. Pride steps in and confuses God's purposes, God's sovereignty, and God's glory with our own interests and power. Jesus is calling the Pharisees, his disciples, and us to be faithful, to orient our hearts and our minds towards God and God's purposes in the world. We are people on the move, people moving towards living the kingdom life now. But what does that look like? How does it feel? And how do we continue on when we blow it? When I think about hypocrisy or being called a hypocrite, that feels like the worst insult someone could say about me. If someone were to call me a hypocrite, I feel like all my defenses would come out swinging because it negates my message. It negates what I do, what I'm called to do. It flies in the face of my life's mission, my goal, and my focus. I want to be a credible witness to what God has done in my life and is doing in the world. I talk a lot about wanting to be a tour guide for the kingdom of God, pointing out where God is at work around us and inviting us to participate and join in. So being called a hypocrite invalidates my ministry and my goals. People don't want to listen to someone who's not credible. Sometimes when we think of hypocrisy, we go to the extreme. When a leader is brought down by cases of moral failure or scandal, that's detrimental for sure, but when we don't acknowledge the everyday roadblocks that hypocrisy creates in our lives, I think we're missing out on an opportunity for growth and movement towards a healthy and grace-filled life. We're called to live consistent lives, which is the opposite of a hypocritical life. So how do we reorient our lives to live without getting stuck by hypocrisy? And I think the answer is grace. We can't live consistent lives on our own accord, by our own power. We need to acknowledge that it's only through Jesus' grace that we are able to continue the journey, participating in kingdom life, together in community. Grace offers us forgiveness, and when we know we are forgiven and still loved, even while we're still stuck in our dead ends, we're free to move the focus off of ourselves and back to God. When we see the hypocrisy in our own lives and accept the grace that's freely given, we're better able to offer grace to others instead of offering judgment for their hypocrisy. Jesus calls out the Pharisees on their ability to talk the talk, but not walk the walk. They promoted their own heightened spirituality by perception and not action. The Pharisees loaded the people with burdens they were never meant to bear. Jesus says that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Grace lightens our load. Grace for ourselves and grace for others. Jesus tells the disciples and us to hear and do, to live this message out in our life so it reflects God's character. The Pharisees were leaders in their community, and whatever attributes you have, for better or for worse, are heightened when you're a leader. Whether that's in business, teaching, or even being a teen leader at day camp. Even if you don't consider yourself to be a leader, all of us have to interact with leaders every day. Your boss, your teacher, your parents, your coach. Right now, I'm in a year-long program called Lead Bourbon County, and it's a leadership course. And the teachings are based out of the Kansas Leadership Center. And one of their clear statements is that anybody can be a leader at any time. Leadership is an activity, not a position. So it matters how we lead and how we follow. If a leader doesn't lead a consistent life, we're probably not going to put any weight on what they tell us to do if they themselves aren't doing the same. Real leadership is not loud or showy. Its true character shows through hard times, working tirelessly, putting others ahead. It doesn't need social media to increase its followers and likes. It's a quiet and humble voice that insists we keep moving even when the road gets tough, dark, or lonely. So how are we supposed to work with leaders who are hypocritical? Do we point out their inconsistencies? Is that helpful? Is it helpful for you when people point out what you're doing wrong and for you to change it? As we start to acknowledge and identify the hypocrisy in our own lives, and maybe even talk about it with others, it might encourage others to find inconsistencies in their own life. A life lived free of hypocrisy consists of humility and service, that our words match our actions. We're not shouting orders from on high, but we're walking alongside one another. It's the incarnation, Jesus among us, Jesus with us. When we're only looking out for ourselves, when we're consumed that our own power is fleeting or that others will turn on us and point out our failures to live up to the world's expectations, we're created to live in community. The life of humility and service is more fulfilling because we're forced to recognize our need for others and our need for grace. We are people on the move. We're growing in grace and gratitude. And these things are stunted or blocked when we hit the dead end of hypocrisy. We're forming our identity as followers of Jesus, and we care about how we're perceived because it affects our ability to bear witness. We're called to serve God, not ourselves. So it matters how people see and interpret us. But when we place more importance on how we're perceived than how we actually function in the world, we live inconsistent lives. Our focus becomes on how we're seen and not how we're being faithful. Grace is what brings our attention back to what we are called to do and the people we're called to become. Avoiding the dead end of hypocrisy means acknowledging our need for a savior, and that savior is not ourselves. So as we continue on this week, let's acknowledge our human nature, that it often feels easier to ask for grace to get back on track. It may feel easier, but it sometimes is not easier. But grace reminds us that although our human nature might get us stuck at dead ends, let us remember that we are forgiven and loved and encouraged to turn around when we hit a dead end and continue on with the grace of God. Amen.